to the fantasy's finest fantasy football podcast. Here are your hosts, William Spencer, Jalen McQueen, and Mark Carter.
What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the fantasy's finest podcast. I am your host, William Spencer. I'm kind of upset right now because I was watching the Sixers-Celtics game, man. And I wanted the Sixers to close the game out at home. They were in Philly for game six, had a chance to shut it down, and they whiffed. They whiffed, man. Jason Tatum, you couldn't have a better setup with Jason Tatum struggling for nearly 3.5 quarters. And then all of a sudden down the stretch, it had to be about maybe 4 minutes left in the game, and he starts dropping shots. And they took a 6 or 8 point lead, and that was all she wrote after that. The Sixers couldn't climb back in, couldn't hit shots down the stretch, struggling from 3 point range. It looked like they were struggling in the fourth quarter. Couldn't hit shots in the corner. Melton had 0 points. Maxey showed up though, and that's what the Sixers needed. They needed Maxey to show up in this playoff series, but outside of Maxey and Joel Embiid, there was no other production. And you can't beat a team like the Celtics without having everybody kick in. You just can't. Because sooner or later, they're going to start dropping shots and they're going to pull away from you. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm not even going to get in on the refs because, I don't know what is going on with NBA referees, but the last few games that I've seen, they've been struggling. Like, you smacking guys square in the arm and you can't see that? Missing calls? Plays happening right in front of you and the whistles are silent. I just don't get it. I was really hoping the Sixers would get it done. But outside of that, man, we did have some good stuff going on. The NFL dropped the schedules. So I'm going to talk about I got the Cowboys schedule. So we'll talk about that a little later on in the show. But we got to get to the draft, man. I've been trying to get this episode done for maybe going on a week. Just one thing after another happening. Family stuff to deal with. Ace got sick. Jalen got sick. Messing with them Popeye sandwiches. My man caught a stomach bug eating one of them Johns, man. It's messed up. You know what? Getting food poisoning can be rough, but even if you get it from a chain, like I would still eat at the chains, but it's like locations. Like if I go get a sandwich from a Burger King on Aramingo, like if you live in Philly, you know where Aramingo Ave is. If I go to Burger King and I get a Whopper from there and I get sick, I'm not eating from that Burger King anymore. Like that Burger King is now off limits. It is dead to me. I'm never going there to get food. But if I go somewhere else and I will go to another Burger King and get food from that Burger King. Like it's not so much the chain of food. It's how they're preparing it at the specific location. Like I know some people, you wouldn't go to a Chick-fil-A and they extend you with the sauces. Like I know that that's rare, but if you go to, if you're in Philly, let's see, Chick-fil-A. If you go to Chick-fil-A on the Boulevard, closer to, what is that? Adams Avenue. If you go into the Chick-fil-A on Adams Avenue and they get stingy with the sauces, like just for argument's sake, you're not going to go there anymore. You're going to go to another location because you know they're going to treat you better or they're going to have their act right and, you know, they'll be fine and they give you what you need. That's how it is with food. Like if I get sick in one spot, I'm never going there again. Like I got sick. There's a hibachi on Cottman Avenue in the Northeast. Went there, immediately ate my food, immediately got sick. Immediately, like I didn't even get up to go pay for, like I can't remember how you do it in a hibachi. Like you either go in there and you pay your food or you pay for your meals. It's like all you can eat type joint. Immediately after eating, got sick. Never went there after that. That place is dead to me now. I will never go back there and eat at that place. I'll go get Chinese food somewhere else and I'll be good. Like, I've never gotten sick from eating Chinese food from around the way or, you know, a couple restaurants up here. Never that. But the hibachi on Cotman, dead to me. Never going there again. But I'm not going to ramble on too long. We got to get into the episode because I really wanted to talk about the draft, some reactions from the draft, some of the moves, especially in the first round. We got to get into the NFL rookie. I wanted to do the NFL rookie watch, the best post-draft landing spots, because now we have a roadmap to possible fantasy production for rookies heading into the 2023 season. We know where they're going to be at. Now we get to speculate and see what players could produce immediately. If you're doing redraft, these could be targets that you could be keeping your eyes on. If you're in dynasty, you may be playing a little long game. So I'm only going to give you a few guys. I can't give, you know, go over everybody, but I'm going to give you a couple guys that I got my eye on that I'm really looking forward to watching during the football season coming up. But to get to the reaction from the draft, man, first of all, Jalen Carter, the defensive end from Georgia. But let me say this first. Howie Roseman is a freaking evil genius. He managed to pull off one of the best drafts that he's had in the last few years. Like, he did good last year. He was more or less rebounding from his prior seasons of gaffles and mistakes during the draft. And he rebounded into 2022. You know, he picked up Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. He made a trade for A.J. Brown. Good stuff from Howie Roseman. But then this year, man, it's like NFL teams just bend over for Howie. Like, it doesn't make sense. You had 8 teams passed on Jalen Carter. Now, I know he had some legal troubles. He had some issues with the car accident. If you don't know, he was involved in a car accident. I believe 1 or 2 people lost their lives. It's an ongoing thing. Right now, recent news is he's being sued for like $40 million in the lawsuit for the accident. I think he's on probation. And, you know, there's some stuff with him. But football-wise and talent-wise, he was supposed to be one of the top prospects to be drafted in the first round, first overall. Not just, you know, top. He's a top 5 talent. He was projected to be one of the first overall picks in the 2023 NFL draft. It speaks on how well he is, how good he is. When you watch the draft on, when you watch the first round of the draft and you saw some of his highlights, he was making dudes look small. Offensive linemen, hitting running back, sacking the quarterback from the defensive tackle position. He looks like a monster. Now, I know you may have apprehensions for you know, dude has legal troubles. He could be a basket case. I don't know all those particulars, but talent wise, you can't let him slide past eight teams. And then Howie Roseman moves up with the Chicago Bears to get Jalen Carter. Like, what were the Bears thinking? Did they not realize that their defense was hot garbage last season? Now, I know they went, I believe they went Darnell Wright, offensive tackle. That was a good pick, but come on. You trade with Howie Roseman and allow him to get the best defensive tackle in the draft? What are you smoking? You don't do that. And then Bijan Robinson to Atlanta. If my kids were on the podcast, they would have told you. I was heated when that move happened. Now, don't get me wrong, Bijan is in a good spot. And we'll talk about a little bit about him later on in the main segment. But I don't think Atlanta needed Bijan. And I get he's probably the best player available at the time. We can debate that back and forth. But when you look at what Atlanta needed, I would say they need a wide receiver. You need somebody to pair with Drake London, bolster up your wide receiver room, give Sam Redder some more weapons to throw to. Yes, you're more running team. You had Tyler Allgeier last year. He was a 1,000-yard running back in his rookie season. So did you really need to take Bijan there? I don't know. I don't think you make that move to go get Bijan considering what you need everywhere else on your team. Now, it just baffled me. I couldn't believe that they pulled the trigger and took Bijan Robinson. And then Detroit went and did the same thing. Now, as far as Detroit goes, I kind of, you know, the writing was on the wall. I won't get into particulars about that. I'm just trying to, my reactions to the moves that were made was like, oh my goodness. But them going running, those two teams going running back with Bijan in Atlanta and Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit was just like head scratchers. Like this early in the draft. And I'm not saying they're not number one or first round talents. I'm not saying that. It just, the moves that were made by the teams for the values that they were drafting at was just like, huh? Like, why would you do that? And then you got the run at wide receivers when you get to around 20. I was actually getting nervous because I didn't think any wide receivers were going to go in the first round. Because it just started, you started getting towards the back end of the draft, and it was like, oh, man, these guys are still on the board? I can't believe it. Jackson Smith and Jigma goes to Seattle. Quentin Johnston goes to the Chargers. Jordan Addison to Minnesota. Zay Flowers to Baltimore. Those are some of the best wide receivers in the draft. And they, you know, not to give away the whole segment, but I feel like those are great landing spots for a variety of reasons. And we'll get into that later on in the episode, but let's do the rundown real quick. You got to make sure that you follow the podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms. If you like Google, we're there. If you like Apple, we're there. Spotify, iHeartRadio, you can hit the subscribe button and follow the podcast and get those latest episodes on those platforms and many more. You know, we got social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. We got to make sure I got to do a better job of getting the episodes up there. That's my bad. But we're putting the podcast episodes on YouTube as well. So you can follow us all on our social media. We get on a bunch of things. And this season, I got to get Jalen Moore involved when he has the time to get him to do some videos. We put them on our TikTok and YouTube channels. But follow us there. At Fantasy's Finest. You can follow me too. I'm on Twitter, Hype_Finest. You can follow Jalen at _ Black Moscato. And you can also, like I said, you can also follow the Fantasy's Finest podcast on all our social medias that I just mentioned. Now, the other thing I wanted to react to was there was news coming in to the NFL draft that, you know, there was possibility that DeAndre Hopkins could get traded. And that never really happened. And now I did a joint on our TikTok about him reacting. You know, he was like, he made a post and was like, you know, who said I wanted to leave? Ain't nobody say I wanted to leave. I'm out here working. Come on, bro. Don't do that. Don't do that. DeAndre Hopkins, don't do that. Now, I don't know why people don't want you outside of, you know, the Arizona Cardinals are just asking for too much, because they traded for you with the Houston Texans for a second round pick. And now the Cardinals want to turn around and ask for a second round pick. And no shade to DeAndre Hopkins. He's still a talented wide receiver, in my opinion. But you are a little bit older. You picked up a few more injuries. Now, I do appreciate the fact that it came out that he was willing to work with the next team to adjust his contract. He wasn't looking for a raise. He wasn't looking for a new deal, or according to him, or allegedly according to him. I'll say that. But, bro, let's not act like you wasn't trying to get out of there. Let's not do that. All the reports, some of them were, you know, some of them were a little sketchy, but others were more confirmations that he wanted to get out. And there was stuff that he was saying that was leading people to believe that he wanted out of Arizona, but he just couldn't find a trade partner. And then when the draft came and went, he was still in Arizona. So of course you got to backpedal a little bit, like, you know, I'm here, I'm ready to work, you know, new season, new me, blah, blah, blah. I get all that, but don't front like you wasn't trying to get out of there, DeAndre. Like, come on, man. And then Howie Roseman strikes again. The other trade that did happen during the draft was DeAndre Swift getting moved from the Detroit Lions to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I will say, like I said, I mentioned earlier, you know, the writing was on the wall. DeAndre Swift was on the outs with the Detroit Lions. They were preparing to move on from him. And reports were coming out before the draft that they were, you know, the Lions were preparing to move on from DeAndre Swift. They picked up Jahmyr Gibbs, and it was like almost immediately. Like, they picked him up in the first round, and I believe the trade happened the following, during day two, that, you know, DeAndre Swift was looking to get out. He wanted to leave because, you know, they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. They signed David Montgomery. So, you know, it was kind of like, oh, you know, he ain't got a spot. But to give him to the Philadelphia Eagles for what was the deal? It was a 2025 fourth round pick, and they swapped like seventh round picks or something like that. Really? And I had this conversation with friends at work, guys at work and stuff, and my friends, and it's like, yeah, you know, you had to get something for him. You gonna make this deal. You know, you're going to get something from him. But I'm like, a 2025 fourth round pick. You couldn't get a 2023 pick. You couldn't get a 2024 pick. Let's give him a pick from 2 years down the lane. And, you know, y'all got it. Like, come on, man. Detroit, what was y'all thinking? And now you put DeAndre Swift behind that offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. And you got to admit, the fantasy prospect that Swift now has with the Eagles as opposed to the Detroit Lions and how the Eagles run their offense is pretty appealing. Now, you still got to concern yourself with the committee approach because you still have Rashad Penny, Boston Scott, Kenny Gainwell. Oh, and you talk about somebody taking a hit. Kenny Gainwell, man, really thought that he was going to be able to come in and run with it this year, or at least they was going to give him a chance. But they picked up Penny in the offseason, and then he went and traded for Swift. He's buried now. Like, I was rocking for him to be a fantasy prospect, but now it's not looking like that writing's on that wall anymore. They're going to go with Swift and Penny to be the 1-2 punch. And, you know, Jalen Hurts is still going to get his on the ground. I do expect that the Eagles are going to kind of pull a little bit back from that, allowing Jalen Hurts to be running all over the place. Because you got such a stable of running backs, you don't really need to put your newly paid quarterback in harm's way as frequently as he was last year. Because I believe he had like 200 rushing attempts. So you kind of want to take some of that workload and put it on your new running back room. And then you had Lamar Jackson get paid. He's now the new highest paid quarterback in the league, $260 million contract over 5 years with $186 million. He usurps Jalen Hurts' deal that made him the highest paid quarterback. So now we are waiting for Joe Burrow to get paid. We're waiting for Justin Herbert to get paid. So we're waiting to see what those moves are going to look like. But you're looking at least, you know, they're going to be cracking the 50s, 51 and up, and it's going to get nuts, man. The quarterback market is just going to continue to get bananas, and it's going to be interesting to see what players get what, because we already seen Daniel Jones get $40 million a year, and it's like, does dude really deserve $40 million, or was it the fact that the Giants just had to pay him because he was there? Now, I don't want to get too long. I'll save that. I'll save that for another, for the next episode. Let me get into the Daniel Jones. I got to get Ace on that too, because it's some stuff that's been floating around about Daniel Jones and, you know, his potential for this season coming up. So I won't beleaguer that. But we got to get into the news next. Plenty of stuff still coming out of the league. Some news tidbits that you might want to keep your eyes on as we get closer and closer to the fantasy draft season. So without further ado, let's get into the news and notes from around the NFL. Now, the first guy that I have on my list, and this is just a subjective list because, you know, there's so many players that have been drafted. I like a lot of spots. I can't get into all of them. Then the episode will be like an hour long, hour plus long, because it's normally an hour. But here's a few guys that, you know, everybody's been talking about. So I wanted to weigh in on a few of these names. The first guy I really, and this is one of my favorite landing spots for the quarterbacks, because I wanted him to land with this team. And it's Anthony Richardson, who got drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. I was literally banging the table for this move to happen. When it was pulled, I was like, I was in my living room watching the draft with my boys. And I'm like, yeah, they got him. And he's like, well, why did you want him to go to the Colts, Dad? And when you look at his production at the college level is not enamoring. You know, you're not going to be like, oh, man, he did 4,000. He didn't have big numbers in college. But he has the tools to be a great NFL quarterback. He's got the mobility. He's got the arm. He can work on his accuracy, and he can work on, you know, making sure that he's delivering on time and all of that stuff. He has a chance based on the system that I'm hoping the Colts run, something similar to what Shane Steichen did in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts, you know, making the offense easier to understand and be easier to run with the quarterback and utilizing the things that Anthony Richardson brings to the table. He's got a cannon, but you have the weapons for the Colts. You got Michael Pittman. You got Alec Pierce. You have three or four god darn tight ends that you can use to help Richardson out. And then they drafted Josh Downs, so he's going to be their new slot guy. You have a decent team. And let's not forget about Jonathan Taylor. You know, he can catch out of the backfield too. He's a dynamic running back. You got to keep an eye on him. So the read option, if Shane Steichen can bring some of that flavor that he had in Philadelphia and bring it to Indianapolis, yo, Anthony Richardson could be one of the best buys, not only for Dynasty, but even for potentially redraft. Especially when you're looking at how, you know, redraft is done, you're going to have a lot of quarterbacks go early or earlier on in the draft. So if you decide that you want to gamble and wait on a quarterback later on in the draft, you have a plethora of options to pick from, including the rookie class. And that's where I'm at. Like, you can get, if your strategy is to get a top end quarterback and then wait and then pick up a secondary quarterback, you got Anthony Richardson there. You got Bryce Young there. You got guys like Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott and maybe even Aaron Rodgers, who are going to be targeted later because your Josh Allens, your Patrick Mahomes, your Joe Burrows, your Justin Herbert, those guys are going to go earlier in the draft. So your strategy can be flexible. But back to Anthony Richardson, he's projected to start week one, based on the news that's coming out of the NFL. So Richardson has big playability. He has the mobility, and he's got the weapons around him to be able to have success. And this is what you want in a NFL quarterback, especially now where teams are moving away from your standard pocket passer and they're looking to get more mobility and running ability from the quarterback position. I like the spot that Anthony Richardson is in. And even in dynasty leagues, he's probably going inside the top five in fantasy picks. I haven't seen him go outside the 105. I haven't been in too many dynasty league drafts, so I'm not going to cap and say, you know, I've been in a whole bunch and, you know, this is what it is. But he's not going, no, I don't think that he's going to go further than the 105. And I would be shocked if he falls to the 105, just based off of what he's been able to do and what he showed in the combine. Anthony Richardson, I really liked that landing spot for him. And it was like, I had Bryce Young, I kind of shot my shot. I had like 4 out of 5 right. I had Bryce Young going to the Carolina Panthers. CJ Stroud going with the Texans, though that was a little touch and go because of all the stuff that was coming out for Stroud, you know, in the Deshaun Watson agent connection. And then you had the Texans and their tomfoolery that was going on with Watson. But those two hit. Anthony Richardson hit. I did have Will Levis, believe it or not. I did have Will Levis going to the Titans. The only one I missed was Hendon Hooker. I can't remember. I got the tweet, but I don't have it up. But it's on my account on Twitter at @hype_finest. So you can see where I had those five going. I think I had Hendon Hooker going to Las Vegas. And he ain't make it there. So 4 out of 5 ain't bad. My next guy I mentioned earlier in the outset of the episode was Bijan Robinson. And like I said, I like the fact that he got drafted to the Falcons. What running back wouldn't like to go to a run-heavy offense? I just didn't like where they picked him. Like, it just didn't make sense. But because of who he is and how he runs, how he's being used, he's one of the best all-around running backs coming out of that draft. So it was expected that somebody was going to take him. And you may have had to reach to get him. And I guess Atlanta was like, all right, it'll be us. We're going to reach for Bijan Robinson, and we're going to take him and add him to our backfield. And like I said, I feel like it hurts Tyler Allgeier because you don't take a running back. I feel like you don't take a running back in the first or second round and you bringing them in to split work. Like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, you're using that kind of capital because you want a three down back. You want a guy who's versatile and you know, you can catch passes out of the backfield. He can pass block. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. He can do all of that stuff. And that's why you use that value to go and get a guy like that. And Bijan Robinson was arguably the best back coming out of the draft. The Falcons have a top 5 O-line last season. According to Football Outsiders, they had a top 5 in adjusted yards per carry at 4.68, and they were 3rd in running back yards in the same market for their offensive line. And the Falcons led the league in rushing attempts with 559. So you got Bijan Robinson coming in. He's going to get the bulk of the running back work out of that backfield. Now it comes to, where are you going to draft him? Are you taking Bijan in the first round? And who are you taking Bijan over? Like, right now, if I'm looking at the top, I should have just pulled this up. But if you have, you know, your top, actually, I think I do have this. But you look at the ADPs right now, and you're going into the draft. You're going into the draft, and you're like, man, Bijan Robinson is probably a first-round pick, early first-round pick. Who are you taking him over? Are you taking Bijan over Jonathan Taylor? Are you taking Bijan over Christian McCaffrey? Are you taking Bijan over Austin Eckler or Derrick Henry? Like, these are the questions you have to ask yourself, because I don't see Bijan falling out of the top 7 picks. And that's just being generous, because, like I said, the Falcons ran the ball the most in the NFL last season, and they have a pretty good offensive line, top 5, according to Football Outsiders. So you want to get that running back. You want to get that running back early. If that's your strategy, if you're going to take a running back early, Bijan is going to be a guy that you're going to have to figure out. Am I going to take him over these other guys, these guys that are proven, and hope for the best? And depending on my leagues, I might be taking a reach myself. But you never know. But Bijan Robinson landed in one of the best spots that a running back could be in. And the potential is there for him to have a successful real life career and fantasy career for fantasy managers this season. Another guy, we're going to switch to the wide receiver position. I wanted to talk about somebody who wasn't on the clear beaten path. And that's Jordan Addison being drafted to the Minnesota Vikings. Now, he already has a guy who's going to be ahead of him who's going to get a lot more targets, and that's Justin Jefferson. And for obvious reasons, we don't have to go into that because we know who Justin Jefferson is. But when you look at what's remaining, the potential for Addison to be a top-tier guy, or at least maybe a, I'm just throwing this up in the air, but a top 25 wide receiver is pretty solid. You have Adam Thielen on his way out. He left in free agency. He's in with the Carolina Panthers now. Addison has a potential to take over that target share that was left behind. 16.7% target share was left behind Adam Thielen, who saw 107 targets in 2022. KJ Osborne is still there, but you know he's going to slide to the slot. He wasn't really a dynamic, at least to me. He had big playability, but I felt like he was rarely used in that capacity. But you got Jordan Addison there. You took him in the first round, which to me says we need another piece that can go with Justin Jefferson who can be used right away. And when you have Justin Jefferson, who demands a lot of attention from the defensive coordinators and, you know, defense in general, Jordan Addison could come in and see, I would say, more than 107 targets that Adam Thielen had. You're going to have to take some somewhere else. And why not take him off of KJ Osborne's plate? I mean, does he really need a whole bunch of targets? I mean, let's be honest. He don't need all them targets. He don't need all them targets at all. So you take targets away from KJ Osborne and you add them to Jordan Addison. That's solid. KJ Osborne saw 90 targets last year. 90 targets. 14% target share in 2022. And he had 650 yards and 5 touchdowns. But you got a new number, not a new number one, but you got a first round draft pick right there. He needs the work. Yeah, take a little bit off of KJ Osborne's plate. Kirk Cousins has been doing pretty well the last couple years. So you have now a 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Got to get him work. But I like the landing spot. They have a pass heavy offense. With Kirk Cousins, and that's, you know, these are the reasons why I like Jordan Addison there. Now, another guy that I do like that's starting to get a lot of buzz around fantasy circles is Rashee Rice to the Chiefs. Now, we know Juju Smith-Schuster is gone. He left being drafted. Oh, not being drafted. He went and took the money and went to the New England Patriots. So you don't have a number one wide receiver there, at least not yet. They still kind of, I feel like the positions are still in flux because now recent reports have been saying that, you know, Kadarius Toney could be the new number one wide receiver. And that's all fine and dandy, but we know Kadarius Toney has a little bit of a struggle staying on the field because of injuries, but both him and Sky Moore are expected to see expanded roles. But you have Rashee Rice, who could be the new number one, who has the potential to be a number one wide receiver for a team. And then you always have Patrick Mahomes. So you have a younger nucleus of wide receivers that are going to have to get on the same page as Mahomes. Eventually, some defense is going to realize that they're going to have to slow down Travis Kelce. I don't know how you do it. Maybe you hope old age slows him down finally. But until then, you have to be able to force Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball somewhere else. So you got all these young guys there, and the potential for them to be able to be productive is also there because you have one of the best passing offenses in the league with the current Super Bowl champion and dual MVP quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. Juju left behind 101 targets. Mecole Hardman left behind 34. So that's a decent chunk of production that's going to be either split up between those three guys, or you get somebody on the same page as Patrick Mahomes, it becomes his favorite target, that worker is going to go there. Now, could you be playing the long ball, the long game with Rashee Rice? You possibly could. But this is a guy I think that you should take in the back of the first round in dynasty leagues. Maybe it's somewhere between the 109 and the 112. It depending on who's been taken out of your who's been taken ahead of you. If you're picking in the back, I mean, for the reasons that I just mentioned, you have the opportunity is there for him to be able to produce. He's got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and honestly, the wide receiver position is up for grabs. You know, the guys that are already there are moving into their next years with the team and under that offense. And now you have Matt Nagy there being the offensive coordinator. Eric Bieniemy is no longer there. So the wide receiver position could be up for grabs. So get a piece of that. I feel like if you get a piece, you got to target, you know, those three guys and then hope for the best. But the opportunity for Rashee Rice to produce is there. And I like that. Jahmyr Gibbs is another guy who landed in a great spot. Puzzling that the Lions took him at 12, but I can't front. It is a good spot. The Lions do like to run the ball. They have a very good offensive line. I believe it was top 10 last year. And according to Football Outsiders, it was up there too. No more DeAndre Swift. David Montgomery is going to be the lead guy. Gibbs is going to come in and be that lightning to David Montgomery's thunder. They're going to be that new 1-2 punch. So they're going to see a bunch of, both running backs are going to be involved in that offense. And Gibbs gives you more passing, pass catching ability. So he's going to be great for PPR. 1,200 yards receiving coming out of Georgia Tech and Alabama. Gibbs has the chops to be able to catch the ball. And he can make big plays between the tackles too. So Gibbs, I think you gotta have him on your list when you're looking at running backs, especially if you're considering waiting a little bit to go grab one. There's not too much I can say about it. You know, he's gonna be behind David Montgomery, but we kind of saw how when DeAndre Swift was healthy, they were using both running backs in that offense. And Jamal Williams kind of just took off because you had DeAndre Swift get hurt a few times. And, you know, they try to keep him healthy, so they used him sparingly. And Jamal Williams just went ape, leading the league in touchdowns, rushing touchdowns in 2022. But this year, both David Montgomery and Gibbs are going to be involved, especially since you took him in the first round too. So you kind of have to show that value, that reason why you went and took this kid with the 12th overall pick. You're not going to get him and then, you know, give him five carries and say, oh, well, you know, that's it. His role is going to be defined. It's going to be behind David Montgomery. It may start. I hope that it's more of a tandem in this particular situation as opposed to one usurping the other, because that's going to be rough. Because you paid David Montgomery too. And fantasy managers are probably going to take David Montgomery first between him and Gibbs. And I don't think you would be wrong in doing that. But David Montgomery doesn't catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. And I think that Gibbs, that's going to be one of his major features of his role in the Detroit Lions offense. Now, I have another wide receiver that I wanted to talk about, and that was Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I did a TikTok for him. I was really hyped about him coming into the NFL. Great route runner. He has deceptive speed, I guess you can call it. Like, he's not lightning fast, but you know, you gotta get a body on him, because if he makes you miss, he can't hurt you for chunk yardage. That yak that everybody likes. But going to Seattle, I'm not going to sit here and fraud. Talent aside, I wasn't completely enamored with the location. And the reason why is because when you look at Seattle and you look at how they've used their number three wide receivers in their offenses over the last few years, they don't get a lot of work. They don't. But I had to take a step back and look at what they're trying to do. And what the move tells me is that Tyler Lockett is getting older. DK Metcalf is your feature face, your franchise guy. And eventually Tyler Lockett is going to either have to hang it up or they're going to let him move on. But Jackson Smith and Jigma is probably going to get in to that role where Tyler Lockett used to be. Not the deep threat, but he's the guy that you can use inside and outside at the wide receiver position. And he has the ability to create separation with his route running. So you have a guy who can play underneath while DK Metcalf can play your bigger deep threat for those big plays. And we've seen Metcalf be more versatile in his route running over the last couple of years. So it's not to say that he can't do it, but you can have a more consistent, wide receiver in Jackson Smith and Jigma to be able to do those things underneath while making sure that DK Metcalf is either drawing guys to him or he's taking defenses deep and you making a, excuse me, I gotta get this out the right way, being the threat that he can be. And you kind of have those two players kind of play off of that. So, like I said, I wasn't completely enamored with the spot, but coming to the realization that, you know, this looks like a move where Tyler Lockett, he's 30 years old. He's not going to have too many years left. He's still a good wide receiver. Don't get me wrong, but eventually they're going to have to move on from him. And I think that's where Jackson Smith comes in and he takes over. Dude is a baller. He was one of my favorite wide receivers to do research on heading into the draft. And can't say enough good things about him. I can't wait to see him play in the season. And to wrap this segment up, gotta go with Rashawn Johnson. I love running backs, unless y'all can't tell. Running backs coming out of the draft is just like new potential and this is how I feel, the most shallowest positions drafting in fantasy. Because everybody's going, you know, one or two running backs, you know, doing committees. And I hate committees. I hate running back by committee. I don't like it. But that's the way NFL teams are moving to, especially trying to get through a 17-game season. And I understand that. But for fantasy, it sucks. It really does sometimes. I mean, we all know the New England Patriots are like the face of running back by committee, and nobody likes that. Because you might think one guy is going to go off this week, and then surprise, it's the running back three on the depth chart. Everybody remembers Jonas Gray, right? And how his fantastic one game was. He had like four rushing touchdowns, and he was like the top pick on waiver wires that week. And then he did next to nothing the rest of the season. So it's just one of those things where I want to see a guy come in, be the lead guy, and just take over the role. And this is why I want to talk about Rashawn Johnson, because I feel like he has that ability to do that. Now, the word coming out of Chicago is that, you know, they don't want to run the ball with one person. They want to use all their running backs. And it sounds so dandy. It really does. Because they have Deonta Foreman. They signed on free agency. They got Khalil Herbert, who's been pretty good the last couple of seasons. But he's a smaller running back. But you went out, if you were going to do a committee, I feel like this. You wouldn't get a guy who's capable, at least to me, and I could be wrong. If you hear this and you're like, yo, that don't sound right, yo, let me know what your perspective is. Because you got a guy who can play all three downs. He can catch out of the backfield. He's a good pass blocker. His stats don't wow you from his college days because he was behind Bijan Robinson, the number one running back in the draft. But that's not an indictment on what Rashawn Johnson can do. Averaged 5 yards his entire career at Texas or better. 420 receiving yards over the course of his college career. The dude gets it done. And they beefed up that offensive line a little bit to keep not only keep Justin Fields upright because he was the most sacked quarterback last season, but you want to run the ball. You don't want Justin Fields to take all those shots, and you don't want him getting hurt running the ball. He's another one. They added weapons around him. Justin Fields. You heard it. If you haven't heard it yet, breakout candidate this year. And I know he broke out last year, you know, running the ball. He was a dynamic runner. He did damage on the ground. I totally get it. So if you don't consider him to be a breakout candidate this year, I understand. But this year, as a passer and a runner, he's got the weapons now. He's got a full offseason to work with these guys. And I'm not trying to get off track because I feel like Rashawn Johnson is going to be a key piece to why Justin Fields is going to be able to have a true breakout season as both a passer and a runner. He can do whatever you can ask of him. And I like the fact that the Chicago Bears got him because they were the second best run offense in the league last year in rushing attempts. So I should say that right. They ran the ball the second most in the league. That's the proper way to say that. So Rashawn Johnson has an opportunity to be able to come in and do damage. I think based on what Deonta Foreman took in his contract, he's on a 1 year deal. I think that's his main obstacle right there. You're going to have Khalil Herbert because he's familiar with the offense. So it's only right that he kind of gets the first crack. But if anything, you're looking at a split between Khalil Herbert and Rashawn Johnson. I don't think Deonta Foreman is that big of a threat where he's going to come in and just command the running back one or the first two downs, and that's it. And then you have Khalil Herbert come in and, take over passing duties and stuff like that. I think you're going to have at least a tandem between Rashawn Johnson and Khalil Herbert. The question is, how long is it going to take? Is this something that you can see happening a little later on in the season, maybe 4 or 5 weeks in, and now you start to see the running backs separate themselves? That's the question. But I'd be willing to take a late round or a later round pick to take Rashawn Johnson and put him on my team and stash him. Between him, I did have Zach Charbonnet is one of my favorites too, but Seattle went and got him. And he's a guy that I want to talk about. I'm going to have to put an article together and put the remaining guys that I have that I really like coming out of the draft and do an article for that. So be on the lookout for that, because that's going to be that. I got to get the rest of my guys. I got to talk about them somehow. But those are my guys on my list, man. I really like Rashawn Johnson to close it out. And hopefully we get to see him become the new number one running back for the Chicago Bears this season. But that'll do it for the episode. We are done. Locked in. Now this baby can get out like it's supposed to. So without further ado, we're going to close it down. Thank you guys for checking out the Fantasy's Finest podcast. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel. Hit the plus button on our Facebook, TikTok. And let us know how you enjoyed the episode, any questions, stuff like that. Please feel free to leave a comment and a review on our Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. It helps us out. Helps us get more reach new listeners, and we get to expand, man, but we can only do it with you guys' help. Let's get that going too. We appreciate all our listeners, man, and we will check you out in the next episode. So until then, be safe out here. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy's Finest podcast. Be sure to join the community on Facebook and follow us on Twitter too at the Fantasy's Finest. See you next episode.